following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. It is October, thus it is the season of Halloween. So tonight, brace yourself, because this is going to be the one that's going to ruffle the feathers. It's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. We don't compromise on this. I'm going to give you four reasons why Christians should not be celebrating Halloween. Let's get after it tonight. All right, before we start plowing into these four reasons, I need you to do me a favor. First of all, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification bell. That's what's going to get our material out there on the algorithm system. And don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications once you download that app, and you're going to be good to go. It's going to be, you're going to get that notification of every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. All right, guys, it's no secret that Halloween has become the second highest grossing commercial holiday after Christmas in America. Americans spend over a staggering $9 billion every single year on Halloween alone, making it one of the country's top commercial holidays. But unfortunately, Christians are responsible for contributing to that. Now, I want to give you four. Now, I'm sure we could probably come up with 10 or 12, but I want to give you four main reasons why Christians should not be partaking of this holiday. All right. Number one, it promotes paganism, the occult, and witchcraft. All right, let's talk about the origin of Halloween. The origin of Halloween began over 1900 years ago in England, Ireland, and northern France. It was a Celtic celebration of the new year called the Shaman, which occurred on November the 1st. The Celtic Druids revered it as the biggest holiday of the year and emphasized that day as a time when the souls of the dead supposedly could mingle with the living. Bonfires were a large aspect of this holiday as well. Samhain remained popular until St. Patrick and other Christian missionaries arrived in the area. As the population began to convert to Christianity, the holiday began to lose its popularity. Well, gee, I wonder why. Because the early church had enough discernment about them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they knew not to be partaking of a paganistic holiday that, again, celebrates the souls of the dead that allegedly would mingle with the living. But unfortunately, instead of eradicating pagan practices such as Halloween and Samhain, the church used these holidays with a Christian twist to bring paganism and Christianity together. Hello, that sounds familiar, and it's not stopped. So let me rephrase that again. Let me back up here for a second. So in the beginning, as the early church missionaries arrived in this area where this was popular, when people began to convert to Christianity, it began to lose its popularity. But over time, somebody decided it was a good idea, instead of eradicating these pagan practices, to instead incorporate or mingle them together with Christianity, making it, listen to this, easier for local populations to convert to the state religion. Again, this is all history. Now, as we go on with the traditions of Halloween, another tradition is the Druidic belief that during the night of November the 1st, demons, witches, and evil spirits freely roam the earth with joy to greet the arrival of their, quote, season. The long nights and early dark of the winter months, the demons had their fun with poor mortals that night, frightening them, harming them, and even playing all kinds of mean tricks on them. Again, we're talking about the origins of Halloween. The only way it seemed for these fearful humans to escape the persecution of these demons, was to offer them things they enjoyed, especially sweets and candy. or in order to escape the fury of these demons, these horrid creatures, humans could even go as far as to disguise themselves as one of them and join them in their roaming. And when they did this, the demons would recognize that they were disguised as one of them and they would not be bothered that night. Again, history. Why? This is why when you go dress your kids up and all these costumes, this is the origin of this. Just FYI. This is what this is talking about. This is what this is. Then as time went on during the time of the Roman Empire, there was the custom of eating or giving away fruit, especially apples, on Halloween. It spread to neighboring countries as far as Ireland, Scotland, Britain, and even into the Slavic countries from Austria. It is probably based upon a celebration of the Roman goddess Pomona, to whom gardens and orchards were dedicated. Since the annual feast of Pomona was held on November 1st, the relics of that observance became part of our what we call our modern day Halloween celebrations. For instance, the familiar tradition of dunking for apples. You ever wonder where all this comes from? Brother Ricky has given you the origin and the history of this. Now, you fast forward to today, the costumes are now take place of disguises and candy has replaced fruits. Let me say that again. Costumes today take place or exchange for disguises and the candy has been swapped, the apples have been swapped for candy. As children go door to door, trick-or-treating began as it was originally called souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G. This is when children would go door to door on Halloween with soul cakes. They would sing, they would say prayers for the dead. But as history continued over a course of time, Halloween's visible practices have morphed and merged with the culture of today. But the purpose of honoring the dead, veiled in fun and festivities, has continued to remain the same. Now, I want you to think about everything I just talked about. This was our introduction. We've given you the origin, the reason, and the purpose of Halloween, where it came from, why we do this stuff. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. This was written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus. Now, why is that important that we understand that this was written to the church of Ephesus? Here's why it's important. Oh, you need to clean out your ears and listen to what I'm going to tell you. Because I'm getting ready to give you a scripture, but before I give you that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to bookmark that if you're listening. We're going to go to Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. But before we give you this scripture, I want to tell you something about the city of Ephesus. I want to tell you something about the location where the Apostle Paul was addressing his letters to. The city of Ephesus was a Hellenistic city of paganism and mysticism. This is where the Apostle Paul encountered many who practiced magic and attempted to control demons. In fact, according to Acts chapter 19, one of these men was a Jew named Sceva, who called himself a high priest. He had no relationship with God. He and his seven sons, who were apprentices, tried to cast out demons, but they had no relationship, no covenant with God. And according to his history, these men practiced magic and dabbed into the occult. Oh, you didn't hear me. That went right over your head. So let me make this more simplistic for you. Here in this city of Ephesus that was loaded with paganism and mysticism, the occult and witchcraft, you had this group of apprentice exorcists who really had no business doing it because they weren't even saved, they weren't serving the Lord, and they were still practicing magic and the occult, and they tried to go cast out demons, and these demons recognized that they had no authority, no power, no covenant, no relationship with God. And those demons attacked those men, and those men ran off naked, stripped down and naked. They even manifested and said, "Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who are you?" In the first century, Ephesus, who Paul is addressing this letter to, the practice of magic and astrology was so commonplace that people who were sick in their body, who sought natural remedies, also believed in magical formulas. It was commonplace in the city of Ephesus to see people wearing and having magic scrolls, rings, amulets, bracelets, and necklaces. They believed that possessed powers to keep them protected, to heal their bodies, to give them good fortune. This was all commonplace in ancient Ephesus. So it's no wonder why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, listen what he says. Now he's speaking to these people that has been saved in Ephesus. They've been born again. Look what he says to them in verse 8. "For you were once darkness." Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Verse 10. "Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Come on, stop living mediocre, passive, and lukewarm. "Well, Brother Ricky, I'm just going to get saved and see how much I can get away with and still make it into the kingdom." That's not biblical. Come on, do I got anybody today that wants to get so sold out to the Lord, they want to get so saved, so born again, that they don't want to see how much they can get away with and make it into the kingdom? What if I found a group of people out there that says, "I want to see how sold out I can get to the Lord. I want to see how much I can die to myself, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow after Him so that I become a shining light in the midst of a dark world." Is there anybody out there like that? Or are we just dealing with a bunch of lukewarm, passive, mediocre, come on, Christians that's got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, one foot in light, one foot in darkness, one foot in evil, and one foot in good? So Paul is saying here, you were once in darkness, but now you're in light. You're to walk as children of light. You should be actively seeking out and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is. Now look what he says in verse 11. Oh, y'all need to highlight this. You need to put it on a sticker on your refrigerator. Put it on your rear view mirror. Put it in your mirror in your bathroom. Put it in your computer. I don't know where you need to put this, but you need to get this on the forefronts of your eyelids. Look what he says, verse 11, "and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." It is absolutely sad and pathetic that when a preacher gets up and exposes darkness for what it is, exposes witchcraft for what it is, exposes the occult and paganism as what it is, that I get retaliation and hate mail, not against unbelievers, but against people who call themselves Christians. "Oh, I'm going to preach it hard today, whether you like it or not. You don't threaten me with your unsubscribe button. I don't care. I didn't come in this thing. God didn't save me to have a fan club, a bunch of groupies, or a platform. He saved me to be a voice crying in the wilderness to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So if you don't like this kind of preaching, honey, you just need to change the channel. You need to find somewhere else to go, somewhere it's going to tickle your ears, because we're going to keep preaching, and I'm going to preach a lot harder than this. So you just might as well get ready. In fact, I'm going to go as far as to say that if you call yourself a Christian and you defend a celebration that promotes evil, darkness, wickedness, the occult, and New Age and demons, I got to ask you a question. Whose side are you really on? Paul said, we as believers should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we should be exposing them. And he even goes on and says it's even shameful to even speak of the things which are done in secret. I'm on this plow, so let me just plow a little bit harder and a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. It's a shame to even, we can't even discuss the things that are being done, the evils that's being done in secret. Listen, some of y'all listen to some ungodly, wicked music by artists that partake of things in the stealth of darkness. I'm talking about in Hollywood, that are partaking of things that are straight up demonic. We're talking about rituals. We're talking about seances. We're talking about the occult. But yet you promote them. You have them on your playlist. You let your kids listen to that nonsense. And some of these pastors play that garbage in the sanctuary before and after their conferences while everybody's walking around in fellowship hoping that nobody can even discern what they're playing. And it's sad that most people don't. Because we're, instead of exposing the darkness, we become accustomed to the darkness. We're walking around fellowship with the darkness rather than exposing the darkness. I feel like I need to tell you again. Halloween is associated with the pagan concept of shaman, which is the festival where ancient pagans believed that the worlds of the living and dead would have been thinly divided. Or it's a merging of the living and the dead. I challenge you to read your Bible. God did not call us to mingle with dead things. In fact, I can show you in the Bible where Jesus was calling forth his disciples. He was calling people to follow him. And one individual came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I will to follow you, but my father has died and I need to go back and bury him. And he said, let the dead bury the dead, but come and follow me. Friends, that's not Jesus being insensitive. Let me give you a principle here. Listen, if you don't walk away and disassociate yourself from dead things, you'll end up in a cemetery just as dead as the thing that you're trying to hold on to. Oh, come on. Can I get an amen from somebody here? Somebody that's sold out to the Lord that wants to expose darkness. Listen, some of y'all can't get victory and breakthrough and joy in the Lord and get any kind of answer to prayer because you won't disassociate yourself and disfellowship from dead things. You're still hanging around in dead churches that ain't got no power to set anybody free. You're still hanging around with dead friends and dead relationships. You're still doing dead things that are unfruitful, that are leading you farther in bondage and keeping you broke, busted, and disgusted. But God says, if you'll trust me and come out from among them and come among it, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you unto myself, and you will be a son and a daughter. Hallelujah. Listen, even the church founder of Satan, the late founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, took great joy in parents allowing their children to partake of Halloween. He once said, quote, I am glad that Christian parents, he's singling you out, mama. He's singling you out, daddy. He's singling you out, grandma and grandpa, that allow your children, your grandchildren to partake of this nonsense. He is calling you out. Who's calling you out? The late founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, calls you out by name and says, I'm so glad that you allow your children to worship the devil at least one night of the whole year. If that's not enough to convict you, I don't know what it's going to take to wake you up. And I'm only on number one. I ain't even got to my other three principles yet. We're only on number one. We're on number one. Number one is Halloween promotes paganism, the occult, and witchcraft. And I know, listen, do you hear that sound? Do you hear what they're saying? I can hear it. I can hear the emails. I can hear the messages. I can hear the text messages, my phone ringing. I can hear all the people saying, well, Brother Ricky, what about Santa? What about the Tooth Fairy? What about the Easter Bunny? Well, let's talk about Santa. Let's talk about the Tooth Fairy. And let's talk about the Easter Bunny. All three of these imaginary paganistic figures have never been allowed in my home. I have a 15-year-old. I have an 8-year-old. They have never once been allowed in our home. We've never did Santa. We've never did Tooth Fairy. And we've never did the Easter Bunny. Well, Brother Ricky, I don't see anything wrong with it. Okay, well, let me explain to you. Listen, I'll use me for an example, because if I use me, then you can't be offended. I'm just going to let you know why we never gave these guys an invitation in our home. Who? Santa, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny. I'm going to tell you why these three, the three amigos, these three guys was never allowed in our home. Ready? Because if I, the Holy Spirit, one day, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, and this was even before our firstborn, who is now 15, before they were ever born, when I knew I was going to have children, we were praying about this because all of our family did this. People that were even some of our friends that are Christians, or that even to this day, they still do it. I'm praying for them, but they still do it. And when I was praying about it, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, son, if you practice these things, if you partake of these things, introduce your children to these imaginary figures that are steeped in the paganism. I don't have time. Listen, guys, I can't break down St. Nicholas and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and Esther and the sexual fertility gods. I'll be here for 3 hours. I can't do that. I'm just telling you, the reason why we didn't partake of these things and these imaginary figures is because I did not want to sow the seed of doubt and unbelief into my children's heart, teaching them that there was a Santa whom they could not see, a Tooth Fairy whom they could not see, and an Easter Bunny whom they could not see, so that when only to find out when they get older, there is no such thing as Santa, there's no such thing as a Tooth Fairy, and there's no such thing as the Easter Bunny. So then now here I am trying to introduce them to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we cannot see with our physical eyes, but blessed is he who has not seen but yet believe. Come on, we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that, come on, God exists. We know that he is spirit and we cannot see him. But listen, if I would have allowed a foundation of lies based on these three imaginary paganistic figures, they would have been questioning later on, well, we couldn't see Santa, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny. And all three of those turned out to be fictitious characters. What makes us believe that Jesus Christ is real as well when we cannot see him? Y'all see that? Hopefully the light bulb came off. So it was much deeper for us and our family than the paganistic roots and background. It's again, we didn't want to plant that seed. So I hope that answers that question, because I know we're going to get that question. All right. So let's go to number two. This is a quick one. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. That was probably the longest one, guys. The rest of these are going to go pretty quick. This is going to be a fairly quick podcast today. Number two, but it's going to be effective. It's going to be powerful if you're willing to receive it. Number two is, the Lord commands us as believers, listen to me, to abstain from all appearance of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Now stop. What is the common theme of Halloween? Goblins, ghosts, witches, demons, werewolves, zombies, vampires, horror movies, or horror movie characters. Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, Saw, etc. What's the common thread of all these guys? Talk to me. It's evil. It's horror. It's wicked. It's darkness. And God says to us as believers, we're not talking about the world. I'm addressing Christians. I'm addressing born again believers, people who profess Christianity. They call themselves a brother and a sister. Come on, Paul did that in 1 Corinthians 5. He had to address believers and make a distinction between those in the house of God and those outside that don't have a covenant with God. So today, this is not addressed to your neighbor next door that doesn't know God, doesn't have a covenant with God, but his kids are practicing Halloween. You try to bring this to him, he's not going to receive it. He's got to get born again first. So this message today is not for your coworkers that aren't serving God or your family members that are not serving God. If you try, listen, you got to be as gentle as doves and wise as serpents. You need to get them saved first. Now, I'm not saying you can share this message with them, but I'm going to tell you right now, just be forewarned that you're probably going to be casting pearls before swine. Even me delivering this message, there's going to be many of you that call yourself Christians and you won't receive. You'll tighten down. You'll put your heels down and you'll make your face like flint. And you'll say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm not giving up Halloween. My kids are going to do it. Okay, fine. Do what you're going to do. But I'm just telling you, number two, God says abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't know how much, we can't make that any more plain. All right, number three, ready? By doing this, now this is a warning to parents again. When we allow our children to partake of this, we open the door for demonic spirits of fear. Well, preacher, that's some charismatic Pentecostal garbage. I don't believe there is such a thing as a spirit of fear. Well, the Bible does. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So again, I want to remind you, the main theme of Halloween is all centered around fear. Remember in the beginning, in the origins of Halloween, these were demons that was attacking people. They were attacking children. And unless you appease them by dressing your kids up as them or giving them candy or treats for them to leave you alone, it was based on fear. So listen, as parents, when we allow our children to sit in front of and entertain themselves and partake of horror movies, haunted houses. Oh, come on. I'm getting you in your neck of the woods right now. It gives an open invitation. It lays a welcome mat to the demonic and the spirit of fear to take residence in our homes, our families, and even impact our children for their entire lives. Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I was a product of this. I was raised in a home that did not serve God, and my mother was infatuated with all this nonsense. She was infatuated with every horror movie. I am ashamed to tell you that I saw all the Friday the 13th, all the Nightmare on Elm Street, all the Halloween movies. Why? Because my mom was infatuated with all the Stephen King novels, all of that nonsense. And so I grew up watching this. Well, you know what it caused? You know what it produced? A spirit of fear. For years, I wouldn't even go near the woods at night. Are you listening to me? I had to sleep with a nightlight on for years until I got older. Why? Because it opened the door for a spirit of fear. Listen, my kids sleep in the pitch dark. They don't sleep with the nightlight on. Why? Because we have not exposed them to the spirit of fear. Believers were never created to fear the dark. We were called to expose the dark. Woo, come on, somebody. I'm going to say it again for the back row back there. You're getting a little heavy-eyed and starting to fall asleep. I said Christians. I said believers. I said born-again, spirit-filled, devil stomp of believers were never created. We were never created to fear the darkness. We were created to expose the darkness. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. Come on, that we should not be afraid of the devil. We should not be afraid of demons. But I'm telling you, at an early age, as parents, if we're exposing our children to this demonic nonsense, we are opening the door for a spirit of fear to come right into our homes. All right, are we ready for number four? Come on, if you're still with me, I've got number four. If you've not got offended and left yet, let's go to number four. Ready? God has commanded us to be separate. Let me say that again. God has commanded us to be separate. Again, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he says, we are to no longer have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, for centuries, God has guided his people and called them to avoid mingling with paganism. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God explicitly says, quote, you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. So in the Old Testament, this is why these two parallel, that's why I said this in Deuteronomy 7 and then over here in Corinthians. Because in the Old Testament, God was so adamant on warning his people not to mingle with paganistic nations, thus the Gentiles at that time, that he wouldn't even permit them to marry them lest they be turned and pulled away from God and serve other gods or false gods. Again, this was not discrimination. This was for preservation of the faith. Why? Because paganism is involved and deeply rooted in idol worship, immorality, and the practices that are contrary to God's commands. Listen, we're not mad at anybody. We're not mad at anybody. I'm trying to help you guys. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you the word of the Lord. I know, listen, as a watchman, we come off harsh. It seems like we come off harsh because we have such a seriousness in our spirit. We have such a provokedness in our spirit because we see these things and we're trying to help people. We're trying to help God's people. Please, I hope you receive this message today. Listen, if you're watching this today, you're listening today, and this message has pricked your heart, it's convicted you. Maybe you're a parent, you're a grandparent, and you say, well, Brother Ricky, this has convicted me. It's pricked my heart. I will no longer partake of this holiday of darkness, this celebration of paganism, the celebration of the dead. I choose to come out from among the cultural norm and be separate. If that's you today, I just want to pray with you today. And I want to pray that God will give you the grace and the strength to come on, sever the cord and walk away as God's commanded you to do, and to separate from the darkness and be, come on, in the light. So if that's you today, come on, I want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've delivered this message and I pray that it will go forth. It will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. I pray the Spirit of God would convict hearts, that Lord, hearts would be made bare and open before the presence of the Lord right now as we speak right now in this podcast. I pray that for anybody listening under the sound of my voice, watching by video, listening by podcast, and they're a mother, they're a father, they're a grandmother, a grandfather, they're an uncle, an aunt, there is someone who's a caretaker of a child, and they have partaken of these practices in the past and in the present, but they're saying today is enough, enough is enough. I draw a line in the sand, I say no more, and today I choose, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Today we shall walk in light and no longer in darkness. We will not partake of darkness, but today we choose rather to expose the darkness. this. Lord, I pray you give them the grace, give them the strength, give them the power to sever the ties. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against every dark yoke, every yoke of witchcraft, every yoke of darkness, every yoke of paganistic roots. And I break it in Jesus' name. Every spell, every curse, every hex, I command its power to be broken off of you in the mighty name of Jesus. I plead and profess the blood of Jesus against the darkness over your life, against every warlock, every witch, every occult, every demon and every devil that's been attached to you, or maybe the door has been opened to you by past, by circumstances. In Jesus' name, I declare that the captives are being loosed and set free for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray for our children right now. Every child that possibly has been exposed to this, let's pray for them right now. We have a mandate as parents. We have a mandate as guardians over them. If you're with them, if they're in the room with you, lay hands on them, put your hand on their head. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break off every demonic stronghold off of them. Lord, we repent of opening doors to them through these movies, through these practices, through these paganistic rituals and these holidays. Lord, in Jesus' name, we repent and we renounce it today. We profess the blood of Jesus over our sons, over our daughters, over our grandsons, and over our granddaughters. Lord, in Jesus' name, devil, we declare that you shall not have them. Your power is broken off of them. You shall not possess them. You shall not have them from this day forward. They are not your property, but we declare that they are of the Lord. Lord, we declare your will, your word, your purpose, and your destiny, and the assignments of heaven to come to fruition over the life. We draw a bloodline over them, and we declare no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, thou shall condemn in Jesus' name. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody right now. Come on, if this may be a little weird to you. It's called a word of knowledge. It's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you that are watching and listening, you have what we would call paraphernalia in your house that is directly connected to what we're talking about on this program. It's connected to the occult. It's connected to demonic. It's connected to witchcraft. It's full of darkness. We're talking about Harry Potter books. We're talking about Harry Potter novels. We're talking about DVDs. We're talking about horror movies. We're talking about horror flicks. We're talking about costumes. We're talking about artifacts. We're talking about ritualistic items. We're talking about things that are and steeped into the occult. We're talking about dream catchers. We're talking about crystals. We're talking about Ouija boards, whatever it is. Come on, who am I talking to today? If that's you, you got to get rid of it, burn it, get it out of your home, get it out of your family, get it out of your life, get it out in Jesus' name. Come on. It's time to expose the devil and the darkness in your home. And it's got to start with you and I. Joshua said, it's for me and my house. Today we shall serve the Lord. Come on. It's time for God's people to give praise to whom brought us out of darkness. Come on, somebody, and brought us into his marvelous light. Come on. Do you believe that today? Come on. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's doing and saying in this program today. And I promise you, God will bless it in Jesus' name. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. It's going to be our main website. That's our landing page. That's where you can keep up with our ministry, find our ministry. That's where we're going to be at. Listen, we appreciate you coming on to the program today. We have a free app. Again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. You can download it at your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast readily available. Listen, if this ministry is a blessing to you and you wish to partner with us, come into a partnership with us to help us continue to spread the gospel, do what we do on a week-to-week basis. You can do that two different ways. Right here on your screen, you can give electronically. To the left, if you're watching visually, just click on the, if you have the app, go to the bottom, hit donate. If you don't have our app and you go to the main website, there's going to be a place where it says support the ministry. Click on that. It's going to take you to a page you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order by simply making it out to End Time Headlines. That's going to be P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, thank you so much for coming on to the broadcast tonight, being a part of this great podcast and this great message. We pray that you like this, share this, and get the word out. And again, we're also, you guys that are watching by Rumble, you're watching by Facebook, we're on YouTube. Subscribe to us. Just type in Endtime Headlines. Look for us. You'll find us there. We are on Rumble. We're on Facebook. We're on every major media social network. While we can be, we're still out there. So make sure to follow us and like us and all these platforms as well. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We love you guys. God bless you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.